Aloha everyone, much love and blessings. Welcome to another session with this fabulous community we have. We're so blessed to have you all here. And I just wanted to start this session by reading something from Donna. I just got this in one of the comments. And it touched our hearts. So I just wanted to read that out to you. Donna says, where is it gone? Donna says, now that every moment is full of joy and every moment is a miracle, what I would like to ask is, what can I do to help you? I will open myself up to be the vehicle through which my life becomes a living testimony of your work. I will tell everyone that crosses my path of your love and your work. I will give thanks for every miracle and direct others back to you. That is already done. Please tell me what else I can do to help you promote your work, manifest your dreams. David, Michael, Nick, Taylor, Michelle, what can I do for you? And that's from Donna, Loretta, Texas. So that was just a beautiful comment that happened to notice. And such a beautiful comment. And basically, we love hearing that because the whole point of this training is that you become the embodiment of what we're sharing. And Donna has experienced that, yeah, and gone into that experience and has become that. And that is really the greatest gift you can do for us, is to be the embodiment, not to just think about it, not to just talk about it, but to feel that and be the living embodiment. And each one of us has our own style, our own destiny, our own flavor, and that's always going to be the case. We're not trying to clone anyone. But it's a beautiful experience for us to witness that and to really feel that from you. And there's obviously, you know, just by you beaming, by you shining, by you smiling, by you being an example, people are naturally going to ask you, what have you done? How is it possible all these miracles are happening in your life? And you can then share that with them and bring that gift into their life too. And if you want to help in a more official way or in a more practical, you know, structured way, as is the case with a lot of businesses and service projects, there's a structured side of it. Send us an email over to, send me an email personally actually, livingyourmagic@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from you. It's fantastic. So thank you so much, Donna. What a blessing. And for all the rest of the superheroes and everyone listening, you know, this is all about you. This is your journey. This is your evolution. And the whole reason why we're doing this is to see you smile, to see you shine, to see you transform yourselves. That's what gets us out of bed in the morning. That's what really touches our hearts. And that's why we do this work. That's why we've committed our lives to dedicating our time and energy and money to make this kind of stuff available to as many people as possible. So the biggest gift anyone can give us is become your own highest version of yourself, being role model in the world where there's very few role models. So thank you. All right. Well, Taylor Call. We've got Nick Hennix here with me, and we've got Taylor on the phone. I can see you here on Taylor. How are you doing?
Yes. Aloha.
Wasn't that a wonderful comment, Taylor? Did you hear the whole thing?
Oh, yes. I heard every little peep, and it was a joy, really. It's what has us do everything that we're doing over here. And so, I don't know, there's just some real gratification in knowing that someone's life would become a living testimony to your work. I don't know that there's a much greater acknowledgement than that. And, you know, the other, all I would add to what you just said, Michael, is that in addition to that, because it sounds like you are being that, I would say share the superhero training. We need more superheroes on the planet right now, and in whatever way you can. Clearly, you are a living testament to that, but, you know, there's also, in the beginning there was the word, and spreading the word is always useful, and especially now, this time on the planet. So, you know, I would encourage you to really, and all the superheroes, to share. For me, you know, when I really have a sense that the, you know, work or courses or whatever it is that I'm offering is happening as I sort of dreamed it would, is when I see it self-generating itself, self-pollinating itself, being self-exciting. And by that I mean that it just starts reproducing itself without me having to do anything, without anyone having to do anything. And that comes from people really being turned on, like Donna, and really seeing, like, wow, this is just the best thing ever, and I want everyone I know and everyone they know to have the opportunity for this. Now, obviously, people either will or won't, but they won't do anything if they don't know about it. And so I really love when that starts to happen, and it just starts to really spread and regenerate itself on its own. And that's what I would encourage all the superheroes to really move into, that place of sharing widely about the training and what benefit it has had in your life, so that others can have the same benefit and keep sharing and onward and so on and so forth. You know, that's really, really a real acknowledgement there when we start to see people coming into the program because they're, you know, they saw the transformation in their friend's life and they were so moved by that, they wanted it. Or their friend shared about it and they thought it sounded amazing, or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, I would just add that to the bigger what you can do.
Yeah. Fantastic. So anyone who wants to help get this message out, feel free to email me personally, livinginmagic@gmail.com. And there's many ways, you know, because we're a family here, and the more people who get this, the better. And, you know, just so you understand, you know, our bigger motivation for all this, we want everyone to get all of our free trainings, regardless if they buy the training or join the training, go to the level you've gone to or not. You know, we just want this information to be out there in the world. The people who are really committed and really going to invest in themselves and take it to the next level, they will join the family, join the community, and be on the level that you're at. But even if people aren't ready for that, let's at least let them get tons and tons of great stuff for free so that at least their life changes. So we want to make a difference to as many people as we possibly can. And our aim this year is to just turn up the numbers massively. You know, this has been pretty underground, really. Now it's time to explode it. And it feels very, very good. It feels very right. And ultimately, it's your success and your experience that's going to do that, because the proof is in the pudding. We can be stoked here in Hawaii and having the best day ever, but it's your experience that really matters at the end of the day, because you're the ones receiving this and applying it and seeing the results. So anyone who feels that they want to share their experience, we can even have you on our live calls just to share a little bit, because that's always good for people to hear real experiences from real people. So however you want to share or get involved, just let us know. We'd be stoked. All right. So shall we jump in to the first question? We've got one from Diana here from Latvia. Dear teachers, I have noticed that inability to surrender and trust completely, and some fears are creeping in, as well as deficiency of self-love, feeling unworthy sometimes. This keeps sabotaging my dreams and intention. I've also noticed that feeling of smallness and unworthiness is something that many people of my parents' generations have to deal with here in Latvia due to some historical reasons, the collapse of the Soviet Union with all the consequences, as well as a poor financial situation for many elderly people here. I would appreciate very much your thoughts and insights on this topic. Thank you so much. Lots of love, Diana from Latvia. So that's a very powerful question. Taylor, any thoughts come up for you or Nick?
I have plenty of thoughts on that. Plenty of thoughts. Well, let me just say, to begin with, it has, well, I can appreciate maybe, it may seem like a Latvia-inspired phenomenon. It's really a human phenomenon. And in particular, I find in my experience and what comes to me, certainly many women have this feeling. In fact, I was just today working with this beautiful black woman who's you can't hardly take your eyes off of her. She's just gorgeous, you know, this like ex-model. And her husband just left her for another woman, and she was, you know, just sharing about how little she thinks of herself and that she knows that she's not that attractive. Or, you know, I don't know what she said, but she said something, and I was just like, what? Are you kidding me? You know, and I hear this a lot, and I see this a lot, and, you know, kind of all it takes sometimes is one person saying one thing about your, you know, something that has you feel not worthy or not good enough or somehow is sabotage you, and it's all over. It's just all over. And what we're all being asked to do, really, in this time that we're in right now, is to really recognize all of those patterns of discord or feeling less than or not good enough or unworthiness or you all whatever it is, anything that isn't seeing yourself as the supernatural light being that you are, it's time to really not only perhaps have those roll around for us to really confront and look at and choose, because really, for the most part, none of us have chosen that. What I noticed in listening to her talk about herself is she didn't choose those firmly held beliefs that she has right now at all. Like somebody didn't walk up to her and say, okay, so Darlene, you know, here's the deal. You can believe this about yourself, or, you know, all these kind of things on this side of the map, or you can believe this about yourself. You know, choose. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'll take those horrible, awful things on this list. So none of us did that. And it's just the being of human being that we're talking about here. It's not a nation. It's not a country. It's not a race. It's not an individual. It's what it is to be a human being. And the opportunity of evolution is to be able to look at squarely at those places where we do have this feeling of distrust or unworthiness or whatever it is, you know, that, and in this case, you're seeing it in generations, and that's not uncommon. You know, you can see a lot of these patterns that you've inherited, but just what's important to see is that they are inherited, that they are something that you have not brought your light and consciousness to evolve. And really, that's all that's required for evolution. It doesn't have to be that you have to go to therapy and spend a whole lot of money and fuss and you know, fume about all these different things. I mean, certainly people do that. But the opportunity is you're quite aware of in being the superhero training is the transformation can take just a moment. And if an intentional focus to transform things, whether it's for yourself, for your generational karma, for your country, or for the world, is something that you can do. You actually can take that on. You can set your commitment and focus to that and live in that reality if you so choose. But it's by your design and your creation. And that's what we're all being asked to do right now, is to look about our lives on all levels and in all areas and do some house cleaning. You know, it's spring. It's a good time for spring house cleaning. All right, well, what really? This certainly doesn't fit. I don't really, this isn't, walking around with this idea or this notion is not really fun. You know, this woman was suffering. I mean, I looked over and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, this has just got to stop. You know, that's essentially what I had to do. I had to go over and like shake her and like, do you hear what you're saying? Like, I had to drag her over to the mirror and like, do you see what's in there? You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, and that's the role we can play for each other as well, to support each other when we hear people in these unevolved patterns or less joyful ways of being, to call attention to it. I mean, you know, one of the things I've really made a commitment to do is when I'm with my family and or anybody I know, I'm always being supportive of ways that perhaps they aren't seeing in how they're speaking or talking, that if they could see it, they could easily evolve. And that's, again, all spiritual consciousness is about is bringing light and awareness to that which is not. And so that's how I would seize the opportunity of your being observant of this, because that's huge right there. You're looking around and seeing, whoa, this is what's going on here. Well, you're already there, and now it's an opportunity for you to bring light and love and supportive energy toward evolving that. And that's really what we're all doing. That's the role of the superhero, to evolve ourselves and create a support structure and a community for other people to evolve themselves. That's the game that we're playing. So I think it's good news. It's good news that you're aware of it. It's good news that you're sensing it. And now it's time for you to really stand up and heal your generational lineage forward and backward in time by virtue of you saying so and bringing light and consciousness to it. And, you know, I'm amazed. I love being with my family because I can see in them many of the areas myself that need to be evolved. And so I look at when I go hang out with my family's like, they'll say something. It's like, wow, so that's where I got that from. Okay. Well, that's certainly useful, you know, and then have a little dialogue with my mother. Do you realize, you know, what you just said? Like, why are you saying that? You know, and that kind of thing. And it's, and see it as, rather than go down with it or be kind of overwhelmed with it, I really challenge myself to see it as how we can be of service in the role that we have as superheroes living right now on the planet at this time, because evolution does not have to be laborious anymore. It can be smooth, joyful, and easy, actually.
Thanks, Taylor. Yeah, that's a real challenging scenario when you're over there and you're really seeing the contrast. Abraham talks a lot about enjoying the contrast of the difference between where things are now and where you want them to be. It's very important that we are able to manage our inner worlds, our imagination, masterfully. Superhero training basically boils down to awareness and attitude, the mastery over your awareness and attitude, so your awareness doesn't wander away from the source connection, the effect of that connection within you. We have to weld ourselves to our spiritual resource. We literally have to weld ourselves, you know, like metal being, two pieces of metal being welded together. They can't be broken apart, because life is becoming so extraordinarily, mind-blowingly, overwhelmingly challenging for people as we see more and more and more of this huge gulf between where things appear to be in the world and where we're at in our consciousness as we unfold. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible gulf of difference between those two. So somehow we have to, you know, in our own mind, we have to always be master of our own minds and win a little battle sometimes against negativity, very often against negativity within us. There's always the tendency to judge based on what appears to be the appearance of reality. And that great quote by Huang Po, incidentally, Huang Po's teachings rank extremely high in Hawking's scale of consciousness, extremely high. Huang Po says, never mistake outward appearance for reality. You see? So you're over there in Latvia, and you know, that's a very challenging place to be. The more less supportive of your conscious, the experience of your higher consciousness inside of yourself, the more less supportive the external environment appears to be, the more difficult it is, the more challenging it is to stay in, you know, high spirits and in a transcendental state of consciousness that's grounded in the world and effective, but it transcends the normal waking state. You're able to exist in, you know, and stay in levels of bliss and deep peace and joy. And so this is the whole game right here. This is the, you know, this is what it's all about right here in this thing. And we all have that challenge to one degree or another. It's just very obvious. You know, when could be saying, you know, you're living in the kind of a place and experiencing the kind of feelings that you do over there, but your thoughts, like Taylor was saying, the ancestral inheritance, you know, humanity has been struggling with low self-esteem, lack of self-worth for generations, primarily because we're ignoring our own sovereignty, our own divinity. You know, we're ignoring the most important aspect of ourselves. We don't actually know who we are. We're centered in another sense of self, a false sense of self called the ego. That's where we base our perceptions and judgments from. And so that's very painful, that place. It suffers and is tormented. And that pain is getting turned up, because life is driving us away from that. It's no longer supporting the structures of the ego. or the forms of the ego's manifestation are no longer being supported. And as we rise in consciousness and as we shift our center of awareness into more into soul consciousness and become dissociated in the, you know, in the positive way from our personality and our body consciousness, and we see ourselves more as a, you know, superheroes on a mission in the world, but it's more like a part that we're playing, whereas we really are something else with this consciousness that's observing all this and experiencing all this, and we exist, we're nourished and fed and watered and clothed and educated and inspired by an invisible internal experience. This is where our riches come from. This is where we are really invested in this inner world and this resource within there, this impersonal, deeply personal connection you can have with, you know, the Holy Presence. And it's a beautiful thing. And so this is always the relationship to nurture, always the subject when it comes to how am I managing my awareness. You see, I said it always boils down to two things, awareness and attitude. If we have an awareness of the presence of God within ourselves, and we've really established that by early morning sitting practice or early morning standing practice or early morning breathing and moving or a combination of all three, ideally, early morning lying practice and just breathing the Holy Presence. If we've established that day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, for months and months and months and weeks and months and years and then years and years and years, you know, we're aware of the presence of God and it's unmistakable. And that's the thing to immerse yourself into. And then the only thing then is your attitude, allowing that love, allowing the vibrations of that power to flow out into the world. Is your attitude allowing that? And that is an attitude of love. But because we don't know who we are and we don't know what love is, truly, we're finding that out. We're discovering what perfect love is through the manifestation and the expression of it. We have to learn and train ourselves and keep our mind disciplined to focus in a certain way. So we hold our attitude in a certain way. And what we suggest in superhero training is that ho'oponopono is the perfect little combination of words, the perfect little mantra to check in. How's my attitude? How's my attitude? So if you're listening to this right now and you say to yourself, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank 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 you. Just say to yourself or just say to life, say to the presence of life, the Holy Presence, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm sorry for ignoring you, please forgive me, I love you. I love you so much, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And load it up with a lot of gratitude and love. You're going to feel an immediate shift in your state of consciousness, in your awareness and your attitude, an immediate shift, immediately. And the more you do it, the more that shift stays. And you become immune and invincible to the world around you more and more and more and more and more so. And that's what we need. We need to be immune to the way things appear to be. Because appearances have been constructed. They've been, there's constructions of life, what we call reality. Aspects of our reality are constructs, and they are fueled by our creative power through our attention. So when we remove our attention from it, especially negative emotionally charged attention, and we shift our attention within us in this beautiful heart connection with our own divinity, with the God source and beyond, then we become immune and things become more and more obvious. The contrast becomes more and more acute, and this is the time that we're in. extreme polarization as the greater reality, the truth, the living truth of life manifests. And as it does that, and this is destined, this is predestined, and it's happening, whether we're aware of it or not, whether we like it or not, whether we prefer it to be another way, it's happening. And as it does that, all forms are destroyed that are not in resonant harmony with it, you see? And all thoughts and emotional states of being are driven out and expressed through people. So it's a very, 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 very powerful time we're in right here. And as time goes by, you will become more and more and more stoked that you're doing superhero training, and you have these little beautiful little things that are so very, very simple to focus on and just allow you to navigate these the appearance of reality more and more masterfully. So take heart. You're doing great. Pick your chin up. Keep practicing. You're doing absolutely incredible. You're a total superhero just for being there in Latvia. Anchoring the superhero frequency down over there is an incredible service to that part of the world. To my knowledge, you're the only one up there. So you're absolutely, you know, in on the last outpost over there. And it's rest assured, you're not alone. You're being helped and supported by invisible agencies of light. Taylor's always calling in the communities of light. She's in constant communion and conversation with them. And we have multitudes of allies in the invisible realms with us. And we need to appreciate that and talk to that and nurture more and more and more the invisible realms and become more and more immune and invisible to what appears to be.
Thank you, Brother Nick. Fantastic. And, yeah, I've just been looking at Latvia on the map and learning a little bit about the history while this has been happening. And, yeah, what a crazy back-to-back wars and takeovers and drama in that country. So I can only imagine how distraught some of the elders are who've been through that, you know. So my heart goes out to people who've gone through that, you know. And that history will no doubt linger with everyone who is there on some level. And with that in mind, I think it's important to realize the impact, and this goes for everyone listening, wherever you are, depending on where we are physically living, we are influenced, whether we like it or not, on some level by the environment. You know, it's one of those things. In superhero training, we give you a lot of tools to minimize the negative impact as much as possible, but there's always some amount of impact. Being in Hawaii, being in America, there's, you know, if you look out for it, there's tons of wealth, millionaires, billionaires, and physical and nice environment and all this kind of wonderful stuff that allows somebody to believe it's possible because you can physically see it with your eyes, to have a quality of life and a way of being that is beautiful, especially if you're surrounded with people who are like that as well. Your level of belief naturally increases. But because you're over there, and depending on where everyone is listening to this, you may or may not believe on some deeper level what is or what is not possible because you haven't seen it with your own eyes. So that's why one of the ways to overcome these guilt, or not guilt, but the lack of belief and fears and lack of surrender, is to go online and print out, or, you know, save on a PowerPoint presentation or something, images of the things that you're attaining, the life that you want, the service that you're doing, the kind of experiences you want to have, how you want to contribute to the world, your big dream. Get it down on paper or get it down on your screen and brainwash yourself, basically, with those images. Because the more you see those physical things in terms of photographs of those objects and experiences and people, you start to believe on a bigger level that it is possible, because if other people have it, then you can have it. And our aim is to see the whole world being happy, being prosperous, being joyful, following their dharma. So the more we impress these images into us on a regular basis, the more we feel it's possible, the more we experience it in our subconscious mind, and naturally the level of belief increases. And as your level of belief increases, so does your feeling state change, and that's also responsible for your physical actions being different and you taking risks that are going to move you forward. It's going to help you see opportunities to make things happen you might not have noticed. So lots and lots of things start to occur when your level of belief increases. So go ahead and get some pictures. That's why vision boards are so powerful. The more it's images of stuff that exists in the world that's relevant to what you want, the better, because then you have that proof. You know, it's a sense of social proof, of believability. So do that along with everything Nick and Taylor have said on other levels, and your success, your feeling of freedom, your feeling of belief, trust will most certainly increase. So well done. Fantastic. And, you know, people need to have people like you around in their lives to know that they can change and that there is hope. You know, you're doing huge service. Fantastic. So we got another question from Nicole in Vancouver. Bonjour, Nicole. My question is about sensitivity and tolerance to pain. Why some people are very tolerant to pain and others are so sensitive. I am a sensitive person. When I hurt myself, I can feel the pain. And when someone else hurts themselves, I can feel their pain even if the person doesn't feel it. Is there something I can do to be less sensitive? Thank you, Nicole. Taylor?
Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
Are you speaking, Taylor?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you, Taylor. I think Taylor dropped off the call there. So, pain is an interesting thing. Some people are naturally more sensitive and more sensitive to things in general. I've got to the point when it comes to, like, for example, if I walk into a supermarket and stand in front of the milk selection, as you do in a supermarket, I immediately start to feel mucus in my throat, even because I just being in the presence of mucus-forming substances has a physical effect on my body before it's happened. I can taste things in my mouth just by looking at them from a distance, you know. And it's not something I've tried to do. It's just something that happens, and it's actually quite annoying sometimes, because I don't want to feel those things. I'm just wandering about, you know. And so this is one of the consequences of becoming more spiritually aligned, is that we are more sensitive to our environment. And one of the practices that I do, which you might find helpful, is to, and we talk about this in the training, is to become essentially bodyless, to go beyond the sensations of the body and bring your consciousness, your awareness, your attention, your focus, your energy to your soul, to the level of your soul, to the level of light, to the level of profound peace, to the level of the depth of your being, where you feel blissful, light, relaxed, free. And from that space, you can witness things happening as small and witness it happening like it's a cartoon or like it's a movie, then it reduces the sensitivity to things because your awareness is on a different channel. And, you know, one of the things that I've started thinking about is that there are literally different channels, different modes of being. It's like flicking the switch. You know, some people are on anger channel. They're always angry about everything, you know. Everything, anytime anyone does something, they're pissed off that they, you know, something happened and no one respects them or blah, blah, blah. You know, just always angry. Some people are on joy channel. Some people are on pain channel. And these are channels that we normally kind of get stuck, like the remote won't shift, you know. We kind of get used to one channel and it's hard to change it. But that's why we need to develop these new channels, these new modes of being, through consistent practice. And it might be that you can flick the channel just for a few seconds and it goes back again naturally because you're used to it. But after a while, you can flick through these different channels, just like turning on a light. Lights up the room, all of a sudden you can see everything differently, and before it was all dark. In the same way, you can flick the switch, but you have to learn what that switch is, what that state is, you know, again and again and again and again and again. There's no fast food method. Even things like faster EFT, and which are, you know, very, very immediate, and Ho'oponopono, there's a lot of stuff that has an effect quickly. But what we want to go for in superhero training in our lives is being able to maintain a certain state and practice being in that state on a regular basis so that it's available whenever you want. And I do realize that this is an advanced state of consciousness I'm talking about, an advanced level of mastery. However, you are a superhero. Everyone listening to this is a superhero, and this is what we're going for, you know. We're not going for just a little improvement. This isn't a self-development, ego-development training. This is a spiritual mastery training. And so that's going to really help gentle to, you know, as the days go by, you build that muscle, and then it becomes a natural thing. So don't worry about not being able to experience this immediately, the process. But it's very, very, very valuable, extremely powerful practice. So become aware of who you are, do the meditations more often, and be able to see, just do like a little game, play a game with yourself. How long can I maintain that experience of who I truly am? And from that space, the things that are, you know, influencing you, the pain in yourself or in others, is going to get less and less and less. That's just one perspective. I'd love to hear what Taylor has to say about this.
Well, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you, Taylor.
Oh, okay. Could you hear me all along when I kept saying hello a million times?
No, we were just playing games with you, me and Nick. We like to keep you amused.
Oh, all right then.
No,
I was switching phones, running around the house looking for other apparatuses.
I think the phone was muted for a second. So, but anyway, it's all good, Taylor.
Well, we know that. We definitely know that. Yes, well.
It's all wonderful, Taylor.
What?
Taylor, it's all wonderful.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's all wonderful.
Thanks,
for sure. Well, so Nicole's question is a good one. You know, I am also very sensitive, and I actually, you know, I know you want to be less sensitive, but I am appreciative of being sensitive because I've noticed that it seems to be a natural state to be sensitive to everything. And I, you know, when I first, I remember when I first did natural tree movement and got activated, all of my senses, hearing, seeing, taste, smell, you know, intuition, instantly, like, boom, like I had an immediate upgrade. Literally, like that moment, that day, and it just kept going up and up and up and up and up, up, up from there. And I was like, whoa. First of all, like, I didn't even know this was, I was missing this. I was probably operating at like a 20%. Who knows? I don't even know. I can't remember how it used to be. But, and what I realized was that that is our natural state. You know, it's the state we would be in, and state, you know, state Aborigines are in, and people that are, you know, living in pristine environments, and like all mammals and all animals are extremely sensitive. You know, I can be on the beach, I can walk down to the beach, and there can be a speck. I can look up the beach, and there can be a speck of an individual standing there, and I can smell their suntan lotion. A speck on the horizon. Now, you know, that could be disturbing, and in many instances it is. Like when I walk into those bathrooms where they have those constant air fresheners, you know, where you just get like, oh, come on, please, you know. I try to avoid those, of course, but, you know, and I believe that that is our natural state. You know, if we were wild animals have those levels of senses and sensibilities, of intuition, and, you know, being able to see in the dark, of being able to hear sounds very, very far away. You know, Jeff can walk in the house, and before he even gets anywhere near me, I already know if he ate something odd or strange. And I can identify it exactly what it is, usually even if it's an odd combination of things. Like I could say, you just ate an avocado with sauerkraut, didn't you? And, you know, with dolls on top. And, you know, I'm pretty much almost 100% accurate in every count. Now, I think that's a gift, and I would be concerned not to have that gift. Like now I've because it's become, all of my senses have become so heightened, I feel that it's, I'm really happy about that. You know, I have very good eyesight, you know. I don't need glasses. I don't want to have glasses. I don't ever have to have those sort of issues. So, on the other hand, I can appreciate that you're feeling this sense of not only being able to have your own senses, but feel other people's pain. And once again, I don't see that as a problem. I would wish that most people could feel that for other people, because I think a majority of the population is sort of numb on many levels. And so the awakening of our senses is, and our sensibilities is what's occurring with this massive downpouring of light on the planet right now. I was sharing with Mike and Michael and Nick the other day. I was outside standing in the yard, and I was holding something, a fence actually, and so I was having just to stand there and not do anything, which is, you know, I don't usually stand around and not do anything outside. But because I was, I heard this buzzing sound that was unfamiliar to me. You know, it wasn't all the bees, you know, we have in the backyard. So I kind of, you know, realized it was coming from this bush. So I walked over to the bush and looked in the bush and kind of, you know, didn't seem to be bees. And I kind of dug around. I was like, well, some kind of creature's in here. You know, and I dug and dug. To find nothing, nothing. Like, well, what is this? You know, I'd never heard it before in my entire life. You know, I couldn't identify it with anything. And sure enough, I looked closer and closer and got my ear closer and closer to this bush. It wasn't a real big bush. You know, it was maybe like waist high. And what I realized, because we're having like 80-degree temperatures and it's spring, when normally temperatures should be maybe 50, now it's like 88, was the bush all had all these little teeny like buds closed up, and they were popping. So it was going, pop, 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 pop. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And I put my ear even closer, and I realized what was happening was I was listening to the bush grow. I was hearing a bush grow. Now, I've never heard, in my recollection of things, a bush grow. I've just never heard that, you know. And I was just in awe, you know, and Jeff came out, and he's like, what are you doing? Because, you know, I stand there with my ear next to the bush. I said, Jeff, you need to come over here. he came over and I said, listen, put your ear to this bush. And because I want to make sure it wasn't just me, you know, that was hearing this. And sure enough, he heard it too. And then I was like, well, maybe we can hear everything growing. You know, and so we started going from tree to bush to shrub to flower, you know, putting my ear down to the ground, like maybe we can even just hear grass growing, you know, I don't know. And it was a remarkable thing. And I have not gotten over that experience. To me, that was just, wow. It was like seeing the burning, you know, Moses seeing the burning bush. I mean, that's how I felt. It was like, wow, I can now hear things grow. That's a whole new level of hearing. I wasn't even tapped into. And now I'm when I go outside, I'm like, all right, what can I hear grow today? You know what I mean? Like, I'm all tapped into that. Like, what else is possible? Like, sort of thing. And so I would encourage you to embrace being sensitive for what it is, which is a gift. It's a huge gift. And see it as a way you can contribute to others that are in pain when you feel their pain. Because a lot of people don't feel other people's pain at all. They don't even see it. Even when the person is saying, I'm really in pain, they can't even hear it. So you're a gifted, blessed individual with heightened sensibilities. And that's where we're all heading. And I'm telling you, it's unreal what's out there, what's coming. You know, we really are. We all have supernatural powers from birthright, and we're just operating on less than a fraction of what's possible. All of us should be able to be levitating, reading each other's minds, flying about, doing this, doing that, instantaneous healings. I mean, these are our gifts. And if you're standing in being an opening to receive that right now, you know, more than anything, if I could stand out there and listen and watch a bush grow, we're all moving at that rate. And that's the thing I saw. It's like, whoa, man. I mean, that's the energy that's out there. We need to align ourselves with this. And what the heck are we going to manifest? What do I want to have grow like that? And that's really the space of what's available right now on the planet at speeds we can't even comprehend, faster than the speed of light. So, you know, I just want to put that out there rather than trying to be less sensitive. You know, I would say embrace being sensitive and opening to even more so is an exciting opportunity right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, being sensitive is fantastic. You just have to have an ability to change channel when things are really kind of heavy. But other than that, it's fantastic, you know, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to hear the things growing, and you can't tune into what's going to happen to your health if you eat things, and you can't have spiritual experiences and subtle awareness and hear things in your mind and read people's thoughts and stuff like that if you're not sensitive. So it's a good thing, you know.
Yeah,
like,
and
it's,
you know,
just
you know, elephants, before the tsunami hit, while all the animals were up in the hills, long before there was any indicator to humans that trouble possibly was on the way, all the living creatures were like, yeah, okay, I hear that thing coming, you know, I'm out of here. So there's a natural defense and ability that we have in being sensitive that's a gift. And, you know, the other thing I just want to say, because I know I am so sensitive, I just want to add this. You know, when I go into less harmonized environments, like at the airport, JFK, take a few moments, or like a shopping mall, you know, I take a few moments before I go into such a place, or like one of those bathrooms I talked about with the air fresheners, and I consciously and intentionally close down my centers, you know, my chakras, my centers, my light body, and I put a force field of light and an invincibility around myself. And I almost kind of make myself invisible. And then I go into those places. And that's key. To take, you know, that's just being energy savvy and efficient with your, so that you don't have to do damage control after the fact. You know, that you think ahead, like, well, okay, looks like this could be, you know, maybe possibly, you know, a challenge on my multidimensional being and system. So, okay, you know, it's kind of like all close down the hatches, you know, like batten down things, you know, and then you go in, like, good, you know, I'm in a little capsule, I'm encapsulated in my light body sphere, and I can, you know, from here, I'm good, you know, I've just got what I need. I can cruise through here unscathed, relatively unscathed. And that's key also. You know, I just want to say that. I mean, I don't walk around like, you know, wide open on all levels, like an opening to receive. When I go into, you know, JFK, I'm not going to do that. Or any place that, you know, like a subway maybe. I mean, I would definitely recommend that you, you know, as much as you can before, you know, like a hospital or something like that, you really think ahead to, you know, and I'll put essentials on, you know, and I'll do these kind of basic things to create a field of light around myself that won't allow such possible levels of, you know, energy I may not want in my field to penetrate. And that's, you can do that with just intention alone, for sure, but then, you know, there's also plenty of other things you can do in addition. But in the very least, you know, that's something you can do at any moment, you know, to put that force field of invincibility around yourself.
Yeah. And after my memory back to when I used to be in cities and have to deal with tons of people and crazy stuff, which I haven't had to deal with here in Hawaii. There's not much going on. It's super nature everywhere. But what I used to do, I remember struggling with this for a while, working out what actually works and what doesn't work. And related to what Taylor's saying, what I used to do, the thing that worked best out of everything I ever tried, was I realized that if I was just to go into, say, the underground, the subway, or, you know, on trains, on buses, in stations, on airplanes, in busy roads and things like this. Guaranteed, if I just was just there, I'm going to get affected. I'll come back wiped, right? So the only thing that worked was me consciously having that bubble around me, like Taylor's saying. And this is the thing that I kind of discovered, you know, out of necessity, was I needed to give blessings and energy out to others. I actually had to consciously be radiating good vibrations to other people and seeing them in a good way, and like blessings to you, blessings to everyone, light everywhere. Imagine everyone's receiving light and getting good vibes from me. That conscious giving blessings, receiving divine power and giving blessings, like imagine the light coming into me through my crown chakra, giving blessings all around and seeing it as an opportunity to bless everyone and share good feelings and love and appreciation for everyone. That was the single thing that actually stopped me getting trashed. And other than that, I would always come out feeling terrible. When I did that, and it was like an opportunity to connect with all these souls everywhere. And it was a joyful experience. And just thinking about it now, it almost inspires me to go to cities and do it again, because I had such a fun time. It was some of the most... Actually, me and Nick used to do this. Remember, bro, we used to wander around giving our blessing walks?
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about that for a minute? That was fantastic.
Yeah, we used to go out every afternoon and do a blessing walk. We did that for a couple and a half years, while we're getting up ridiculously early in the morning, taking on a tremendous amount of spiritual power. And, I mean, you know, with all due respect to everyone, the contrast that when you do intense yogic practices and you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, if you go even here, like over here in Kauai, if we go into Kalalau and just, you know, into the valley and live in nature for a while and, you know, kind of just fast and cleanse ourselves a little bit, when you come out, the contrast of what you can see, the way the world appears to be around you, you can see just the, you know, the absolute madness and complete insanity that is absolutely, you know, fundamental to this modern civilization. So these are really, 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 really powerful things we're sharing here. And, you know, this whole evolution through superhero training is basically just a removal of everything that isn't really you, all of the false beliefs and attitudes and ideas and lies, really, that are all based on, you know, very simply an overemphasis on body consciousness. And as we become, you know, as we shift into these other states of consciousness, higher states of consciousness, more awake, clearer, all of these faculties come to, you know, unfold from within us. And there's a definite order to this whole process. And we get the virtues before we get the powers. But like Taylor was saying, you know, this stuff about, you know, what we're capable of, really, and what we, you know, what we should all be able to do. You know, the contrast between, you know, who you thought you were, or, you know, what an average member of society, you know, thinks and how they function, the way they orient it, like their very sense of self itself, their identity. Well, as a superhero, you experience such a different, you know, just perspective on it all, an experience of it all, and it just becomes more and more and more amazing. And so just keep simplifying and simplifying and simplifying and, you know, becoming more and more and more essenceful, becoming more and more hardcore and focused on the essence and integrating the practice of that into your daily life. And there's only a few very, very, very simple but powerful things, you know, you have to focus on. And if you do that, you know, it all just unfolds of its own accord. And no matter what, you're going to be fine. No matter what, absolutely no matter what, irrespective of circumstances, situations, people, whatever, you know, everything, no matter what, you are going to be held in a bubble of grace. But you have to build that bubble yourself. God's given you all the raw materials to do it, given you the tools to do it. And what we're helping you do is just develop the skill set to use those tools on those raw materials and prove to yourself, you know, what an incredibly powerful being you are. You are right now incredibly unimaginable power you have right now. But are you accessing it? Are you ignoring it? Are you adapting your life, adjusting your life so that it is, you know, allows that power to flow out into your world? Are you master of your own awareness and your own attitude? These are big questions.
Yes, give, 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 give. The more you give, the more you get. So, let's have a look at the last. We've got two more questions. One's about debt. The other one is about feeling sick in by doing extreme meditation processes. Let's do the meditation one now. We'll go to that in a moment. Reading Beautiful Superheroes, I found on occasion when I go into a deep meditation that involves healing or surrendering that I become sick to my stomach. In some cases, it was so extreme that I had to jump up from the meditation, run to the bathroom, and throw up. That's pretty intense. Afterwards, I was able to go back directly to the meditation. Does this type of reaction have something to do with eliminating toxins, emotional, physical? Or may there be some other cause for this type of gut reaction? Thank you for your insight. Peace and love, Barb, Jupiter. So that question is very deep. It kind of made me laugh a little bit because it's quite a funny image in a way, but it's also a shocking image. And that shows to me, personally, how much this is impacting you on a very deep level, if you're having that level of reaction to it. The fact that you went back to the meditation is, you know, a really sign of your commitment. And one of the things that I'm tuning into recently a lot is the power of the subconscious mind, and realizing that our subconscious or other than conscious mind, that the bigger part of us, is actually operating our lives to about 99.9%. So nearly everything that's happening is non-conscious. You know, our conscious mind is just a tiny scratch on the surface, like the tiny little peak of an enormous iceberg popping out the top. And your subconscious mind runs your body, it runs your breath, it runs your blood, it runs all your internal organs, it takes care of healing when you get cut or if you have any problems. And so it seems to me that the unconscious part of you is, you know, the meditations are going in very deep, and some part of you on a very deep level is physically reacting to that and purging as a way of releasing what does not no longer serves you. You know, it might be physical toxins you're letting go. I'm sure it is, but it also could be representing a spiritual cleansing, because essentially when you put light in, darkness comes out. You know, it's like the dirty water in the bucket analogy. If the bucket's full of dirty water and you can't turn it upside down, but you add more clean water, after a while the entire bucket is full of clean water and all the dirty water comes out and is flushed away. And one of the things that puts people off doing real deep spiritual practices is the fact that you're going to have to deal with all of your stuff. And there aren't that many people actually who are willing to go through the purging process of spiritual development. Most people try it for a little bit, get a ego reaction, emotional reaction, toxic reaction, and then say, oh, it doesn't work, I better stop doing it, there's something wrong with this, you know, I was better off before I started doing it. And then they're back to their ego and their usual nonsense, and they don't develop themselves at all. That actually is the case for nearly everyone who tries personal development work. That's why the entire personal development industry is actually ego development rather than soul development. It's such total nonsense. So you've probably been hypnotized and brainwashed by fake spiritual development. That's what you find in the marketplace nowadays. Nearly all of it is of that level. It doesn't shake things up, because if it did, people wouldn't buy it and they wouldn't like it. So what you're doing is the real deal work, and it's shaking things up in you, and you're still going back to it, Barb. So massive, massive respect to you for sticking it out. And I would take that as a sign of huge success. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, hopefully it doesn't carry on. You don't carry on throwing up every time, so it's going to be a bit inconvenient and unpleasant. But I'd love to hear what Taylor's got to say about this, because I'm sure she's got something interesting to say. But from my point of view, it's great, and I want to share that anyone listening to this, anyone on the training, all of you are going to experience reactions, whether it's from yourself in terms of your mind freaking out, whether you end up doing crazy stuff and addictive behaviors, whether you throw up, whether your relationships fall apart, maybe your money gets all screwed up. There's going to be something that comes up, and it's good news when it comes up. As Taylor would say, it's all wonderful, and it's actually a sign of success. The degree, the larger the amount of someone's reaction, the more severe the reaction someone has to the meditations, the better it is in many cases. And so if someone says, oh, nothing happened, I was bored, I want something else, you know that nothing went in, there's no shift there. If someone's throwing up or having serious drama, you know that a big shift has happened, and we should be congratulating that, celebrating that. So I want you to celebrate your reaction from a very sincere place. I'm sure that will actually calm things down. But give yourself respect, because some serious shift happened, and that's a wonderful thing.
Taylor, I'd love to hear what you think about that.
Yes, well, you know, it's funny, when we first started, when Tianga first started activating people with natural chi movement, it would not be uncommon for people to run and throw up. And you know, that wasn't the best news ever, because they weren't really wanting that. You know, they were thinking it was going to be this great experience and fun and feel good and blah, blah, blah. But because there was such a big infusion of spiritual or universal energy, that it can occur, whether it's a meditate, you know, in a way that's sort of what's happening when you're meditating. You're opening to receive an inflow or connecting to the bigger part of who you are. And sometimes, as Michael was saying, if you add more light, more energy, more chi, more flow, it can serve to help move out something that wants to move out. And maybe there just wasn't enough energy, or, the body didn't have enough energy to move it out. That's why, you know, doing fast sort of creates the opportunity, since you aren't continuously putting anything in, for the body to be able to have the energy it's not using on digesting to let go and get rid of. And so you could look at that process that's occurring for you in meditating as the same thing. It's not common, certainly everyone has that, but, you know, it's, to me, it indicates that there's probably more of a need for balance in your life, more of a need for giving yourself more of an opportunity to let go of. And you may just want to look at where could you create more balance for yourself. And then you may not have, I mean, I don't know if you have it every single time, or, you know, it's just, I don't know if it just happened once or twice. It seems like it, you say on occasion when you go into deep meditation. So, and also, you know, perhaps you do what you're seeking or have asked for in connecting or meditating is to have more healing in your system occur. Or, you know, I don't know, it could be that that's one of your intentions in connecting in a deep meditation. But in any case, it is all wonderful, and I would hold it like that. And if it's something you don't want to avoid, you may want to look at other ways to move things out of your system, how to create more balance, how to create more cleansing, you know, take baths, jump in the ocean. There's a lot of different ways through movement to release. And then, you know, you may not find you have to have that occur in your meditation. The times when it has happened in natural chi movement, it's usually only that initial time in the activation, and then it usually doesn't happen again, because people move into a place of balance where the system has, like, just been waiting to have enough energy just to be like, whew, okay, good, you know, that's, all right, now I'm settled, I'm happy, I can take a lot of incoming energy and not have to release. You know, when I first started channeling, and even today, like on the days when I do a transmission, it's not unusual that I will have to take five baths. That is not unusual. I can just feel in my body, I got to, you know, I feel that all this, I feel like I'm holding back a tsunami. It's like, you know, the transmission's already set up. I can feel it just like, ooh. It's like, all right, I've got to do something. You know, like, I got to take a walk. But I'm really sensitive to, I got to create some balance here, because I've got some massive light coming in that I need to make room for. And just start to become energy sensitive, because it sounds like you're bringing in a lot of light. You say it's when you're in a deep meditation. So what do you need to do to make room for it? How can you care for yourself? And I find for myself, physical movement, you know, submersion in natural bodies of water, that's essential for me. It's not just important. It's essential. I could not do what I do. I couldn't hold the volumes of light that I do and channel the volumes of light that I do without paying attention to the energy exchange and what my body, my physical body needs to be able to do that. And I think we're all kind of being asked to do that now as we're all being fed and broadcasting these greater degrees of light on the planet right now to upgrade all of our sort of energy systems. Whatever you had, let me just say, whatever you were doing even at the beginning of this year probably probably needs to be upgraded for where we're at now. That's the level of which the intensity of vibrations are increasing and our vibrations are increasing. And everyone can feel that. You know, there's like this, I don't know anyone that isn't feeling like, you know, like, you know, wow, there's a lot going on here, you know, even when you're not doing anything at all. So, or really being asked so that we don't, you know, instantaneously combust or explode or, you know, freak out to look at, what do I need to do? You know, where before maybe you could sit for like an hour on the computer, you know, you probably don't want to be doing that now. Like you may be that, whatever you could do before, you probably can't do now. And that's always a good thing to be looking at as you're bringing in more light, as you're evolving, to look at what new practices that you can put in place. And certainly the superhero training is loaded with practices. But you've got to look for yourself, and you've got to discover for yourself what feels right for me to be sort of in a check and balance system with what's incoming and what's outgoing, you know, and how you are. Because the body's main drive is to be in balance. That's its whole, you know, from the minute if everything is kicked in, that's what it's kicked into. That's, you know, the heart, all the circulatory, every single system in our body is designed around balance, 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 balance. And so knowing that, like, you know, just want to work in accordance with that, with your environment and what you're doing, and try to, you know, just have it all work together. That's the game. That's the game plan. And so it's a good thing for you to discover for yourself, you know, and this is an opportunity here with your meditation to practice and figure out what do you need so that you can have a smooth transition when you're in deep meditation toward your body feeling really good, you know, or whatever it needs, or, you know, whatever. You can use it as an exploration to figure it out, because everyone's different and everyone's needs are different around, you know, energy and light.
Wonderful. So let's get to the last question, and hopefully that was helpful. And also, just before we do, I just want to mention that, you know, we share a lot of information and advice. So we'd love to hear from anyone who we're talking to about their wonderful experiences in different ways. What's going on for you? Is this stuff shifting things? How is it shifting? What's new and different? We'd love to keep in touch with you and see the progress. You know, that really is important to us. So feel free to post that on the Q&A page, and we can give little updates as we go along, because we don't normally actually mention that, so that's probably why it doesn't happen, but I'd like to mention that now. All right, so we've got the last question from Karen. Hi, everyone. My question is about debt. I have a significant amount of debt, personal debt, and I feel it's energy hold me in the past and ties me into shame I feel about the decisions I made when I spent the money. It feels like a heavy penance that I have to pay before I can go get on with my superhero business. I know this way of thinking is not going to help me deal with it, and I'm struggling to find a way to deal with the fact that every penny I make is already spent. When I get really down, I feel like I have nothing with which to move forward. I don't feel like I can try new therapies or travel or take classes because I'd do anything new because of the money.
Sometimes I think it's okay, state of affairs, because I'm learning to use what I have within, look within for solutions, but I feel I need to purify the energy associated with it. So lots of different, it's a long question, but in essence, I feel like I need to have house money to pay with it. She's thinking of selling her house. How do I deal with the past in debt in a way that's going to help me move forward without just making it go away? Lots of love, Karen. And she's selling a house. Just being honest, learning my lesson, repetition of the past. So wants to create a new relationship with money and shift the whole thing. Lots of love, Karen. So I'll just mention something briefly, and I'd love to hear what Nick and Taylor have got to say. We will always learn the same stuff's going to come up for all of us, whatever the particular issue is for us, again and again and again and again and again, until we finally learn the lesson. The same sort of stuff's just going to keep going round and round. You can replace the people, you can replace the situations, but it's just going to be the same old thing. And that's just how life is, and it's good that that's the way life is, because we are forced to learn our lessons. We can never escape anything. So I'm glad that you recognize that. debt is a horrible thing. If it, you know, it's whether it's spiritual debt, physical debt, any kind of lack of money, any debt to people, to situations, does feel bad. First thing I would recommend is admitting to yourself very clearly that this is a repeating pattern, like you are, and that you can't escape it. And just be aware you've either got a choice of carrying on the shame and the guilt and the things that created the situation, or you can say, okay, today is a new day. I'm going to act, think, and focus and do things differently from now on and really solve this. You know, take 100% responsibility for it. Realize that you're completely in charge of turning this around yourself, and you've got no choice, and you're excited to change. Once you take 100% responsibility, you get a huge amount of energy come back to you, and it really comes into your awareness how powerful you are, you know, by taking that responsibility. And then once you've done that, that's the critical step that, you know, sometimes takes people like an entire lifetime before they take responsibility for the situation. Once you've taken that responsibility, then it's a matter of one thing, especially with money, is to spend the money you have very, very, very wisely. Make sure you make very, very good investments with whatever pennies you have. And I'm sure debt has forced you to do that anyway. But just appreciate money, appreciate the value of money, appreciate everything you do have, and just notice how many things around you do appreciate, because the more you appreciate things, the better you feel, the richer you feel, and the more you value money, the more money is going to come to you. You know, a lot of people don't value money. They abuse money, they disrespect money, and so, of course, they end up in situations of debt and lack. So just start the habit of valuing every penny, valuing the value and what you can get from every penny, and don't think about, oh, I did this, why did I do this? Never think about the past. The past is past. Do not repeat the past in your mind, because that brings you back into the past. Stop thinking about the past. And I understand that's easier said than done, but you've got to have a level of discipline that every time you think about the past or go into guilt and shame about it, just say, look, no, I'm taking responsibility. Guilt, the feeling of guilt is feeling bad and trying to bribe God by feeling bad. That's what guilt is, trying to bribe God by feeling bad, which is completely ridiculous and it doesn't work. So when you take responsibility, you stop trying to bribe and feel bad and solve things through feeling bad. Then you say, I need to feel good. I need to take care of every penny. I need to focus on abundance, focus on creating wealth, focus on wealth opportunities, I wouldn't be waiting around for your superhero business, because you could wait around forever. You know, debt can carry on and carry on. Do whatever you can to add value to people's lives. Imagine that you already are wealthy. Start feeling what it's going to be like to be wealthy. Start imagining it, feeling it, dreaming big, being open to opportunities. And that's going to shift your emotional state and your actions around it. And it's going to move you forward in an accelerated pace. So that's just a quick overview, and I'd love to hear what Nick and Taylor have got to say.
Yeah, it's those feelings again. It always comes back to those feelings. Remember, we were talking to Dana up there in Latvia about there's the appearance of things and then there's the reality underneath. And you need to feel wealthy, feel prosperous, feel held. You already mentioned that you don't have any extras. Well, maybe all your needs are met. That could be a good thing to say to yourself over and over and over. We have to let go of our grip of grasping and putting so much emotional energy into stuff that we want. We have to let go of that very, very quickly. It's good to identify needs and wants and set goals and be extremely motivated and focused to achieve them. But the trick is letting go of that grasping and wanting and training ourselves, disciplining ourselves, practicing to relax and surrender into the experience of already having. This is the big, you know, huge secret here. And we've all studied the law of attraction to some degree. But what we do with superhero training is we take this all onto a much grander scale, because the context of life, the way we perceive it, the way we present it, is so much greater. The context of life is that the world of form, the material physical world with your physical body in it and your whole story of your life and your history and all of your aspirations for the future, all of that is part of a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful illusion. Absolutely enchanting, and it's like a huge holographic kaleidoscope with all of these intricate moving parts starring you and 7 billion other souls incarnate in this world right now, plus all the other ancestors that have been around before us. This is what this thing is made of, and the whole purpose of that incredible structure is for the evolution of consciousness. It's a world where we cut our teeth. We learn the rudimentary basic skills of managing our own creative power through two very simple things. Number one, we acknowledge the presence of a higher power. We can call that higher power God or whatever we want. And we plug into that with a tremendous amount of love, surrender, and willingness and gratitude. We are stoked to plug ourselves into that. That's what actually gives us life. And that's where all the riches are, the real sense of prosperity, because having material things, having more money, having more of whatever doesn't necessarily guarantee happiness. We all know this. Doesn't necessarily guarantee a sense of liberation. In fact, if you have to work very hard and develop complex structures and manage multiple businesses and all the rest of it, unless you're a master, it can drag you into it. And you can create nets and karmic webs for yourself that give fuel to what Jesus said about it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven than it is to put a camel through the eye of a needle. Why? Because the rich man's thinking about things. So we need to simplify, and we are, you know, we need to, part of this letting go of the grasping and the wanting is accepting that life is perfect, just the way it is right now. Your life is perfect. My life is perfect. With all of our hang-ups, with all of our challenges, with all of our fears, excuse me, with all of our quote-unquote problems, life is perfect. And it is perfectly responding to your call, the call for, that is being transmitted from the feelings that you're walking around with and the way you're using your mind. Just those two things. Because that's what's driving your actions and all of your thoughts, your projections, everything. So as we start to accept the gift of life, even though it might be wrapped up in some pretty unpleasant wrapping paper, and we talk about this often, we do not like the wrapping paper of chemtrails in the skies, of political evil, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We don't like it. We don't like the wrapping paper of economic collapse and toxicity and environmental pollution and complete decimation of everything sacred in nature. We don't like it at all. But that's just the wrapping paper. The whole thing about receiving a gift is getting the wrapping paper out of the way. It's not the most important thing. Opening it up and get in there. So what's the gift? How do we receive the gift of our present life circumstances and situations? I want everyone to think about this right now. Not the good stuff, but the shitty stuff, the stuff you don't like, the private hell that you experience, the private torture, the aspects of your life that you're not happy with, that you know you need to change or you know need to change. Where is the gift in that? How do I receive the gift, the motivation from that? Where is it taking me? If I don't have enough money to go anywhere or do anything, what does that mean? It means I've got to stay put. It means I've got to stay exactly where I am. What's the best use of my time right now? What kind of atmosphere and environment can I create around me to so that I can access more of the inner riches within myself? What is the best use of this time, this free time that I have, because I don't have the money to go and do. What's the best use of my time right now in order to use that power that I'm tapping into? You see, and superhero training gives you all these guidelines, and you're being held. It's like a holding station, and we all go through this. Everyone goes through this. Brother Michael and I were talking about this the other day, and we go through it all the time. It's a natural rhythm of things. The way things move in life is this: if you can work your ass off, doing all of your practices and committing, and going deeper and deeper and deeper, and doing the best you can, and having a really immaculate chart, and not much seems to be changing for unknown reasons. You're doing it all right, but then suddenly, for no reason at all, everything beautifully, miraculously, synchronistically shifts. And that's how it works. And very often during the holding pattern, when we're restricted and denied what it is that we're, you know, working towards, it's a time of the purification of our faith. And this is a huge, huge part of it. Remember, we're spiritual warriors here, superheroes. It's another name for spiritual warriors. We might be disguised as entrepreneurs or, you know, nurses or doctors or farmers or whatever. That's our disguise. That's just our you know, superhero disguise. But behind that, we're spiritual warriors. And the spiritual warrior basically has two fundamental qualities that give him his foundation. One is faith. We call that Nizche. An old Sanskrit word, Nizche. Everybody say that, Nizche. Very powerful word, Nizche. Feel that, the burning power of that word. It means intuitive conviction, certainty, knowingness that is unshakable. It doesn't move. You know who you are. The seed of the tiny, tiny seed of the gigantic tree knows what it is. Even though it's never seen it or experienced it, your knowingness is innate within you. The seed knows what it is. That's faith. There's a place that you can live from inside of you where that faith is unshakable. It never wobbles around. And a superhero lives from that place. And then the other thing, besides the faith, is simply the love. The love for your connection with your source, your love of God. And you demonstrate that by giving your heart with no conditions at all. Not because you want this, not because you want that. It's just a purely an act of love because you're in love with that. That's what you live for. You've flipped into the understanding and the experience that in actual fact, your life is inside of you and you have to go there and drink it, merge with it. And then the other thing, the other aspect of the love is how do you let that love flow out into the world? And that's simply through your vibrations, your attitude. So we say, Ho'oponopono, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, to give us a sense of where we are. That's it. When you say that, you're not in judgment. The ego is mainly in judgment, judging its circumstances, judging the situation it appears to see, what appears around it, judging people, judging itself. It's a judge. At best, it's a judge, and at worst, it's the judge, jury, and executioner. So we need the love to be flowing out of us. You see, and that's all you need is the faith and the love, the faith and the love, faith and the love. And the love that's flowing out of you needs to be emotionally and psychologically assisted through these mantras that we recommend, through prayer, through becoming soul conscious, through seeing the world through clearer eyes, and through radiating blessings. You see, willfully extending blessings, peace on earth and goodwill to all men. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and mind and soul, and love everyone else as yourself. That's the only rule. Love that source and love everyone else as yourself. You are consciousness, observing all this, experiencing all this. It's like a dream. It's an amazing simulated interactive reality construct we're in. And the more you do this, the more you become the superheroes in the Matrix. And first of all, you demonstrate virtues, patience, tolerance. You become more able to deal with stress, less stressed even when pressures are building. And you amaze yourself because it's like, wow, I thought things were bad last week. Now they're twice as bad, but I feel somehow lighter and freer. It's not getting to me as so much. These triggers. My girlfriend was triggering me so bad last week, I was almost having rage. But this week, the same triggers are having no effect whatsoever. Those are virtues that unfold out of you. They're natural qualities of you as a soul. When you've been tested in the fires of faith and for the quality and integrity of your faith, and the depth and concentration, the focus of your love, you develop virtues, and then you get powers, and that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. But what happens in the world is the ego wants the power. The ego wants the power, and so sets about going after the power, and that's what most personal development and self-aggrandizement is power in the ego's world. But that's all being destroyed, you see, in a very, very real way. It's being destroyed. And this is a good thing. It's a good thing. And a lot of the stress that we feel is when the psychological structures and the emotional structures, the old vibrational structures inside of us, you know, when we talk about having to go and throw up because we're meditating, you're bringing in medicine into your psyche. And your psyche is your mind. And your mind is your physical body. So these things are extremely related, and you bring this medicine into your psyche, mind, feeling, physical body, then, you know, you get those kind of reactions because it's very, very powerful medicine, and things are purified. And as things are purified, they appear to disappear or appear to be destroyed or appear to be transmuted in the external world, and that can be very disturbing to the ego if it's grasping and clinging and attached to outcomes. So celebrate the fact that you have time and that you have to stay put and use it to the very, 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 very best, and all will be well.
Fantastic. And Taylor, you know, why don't you share some practical tips as well as that? You know, she's got the spiritual side of things. You know, we've got the Iron Wealth program. There's tons of stuff that's practical. Just maybe a few things would be useful as well. And then we can finish on that note.
Yes. You know, I would just want to say, in all the many personal sessions I've done with people who come to me with all sorts of serious upsets, from, you know, serious abuse to things unfathomable, to just like this, you know, debt or whatever it is that's a burden or weighing on them. In each and every instance, no matter what, 100% of the time, in a session with the community's light, there it is always reflected back to them for the blessing that it is, always, without exception. No matter how hardship, how intense the hardship is, it is always shown to them as a huge blessing. And so I just want to say that this is all a blessing. And like Nick was saying, it's time, and it's, you know, obvious that you are, or you wouldn't even be having this dialogue, but to see it for what it is, which is a blessing, but also that you're now done with it. You don't want to keep this story going. It doesn't empower you. It doesn't empower your situation. My suggestion in a practical next step is to write some very strong declarations and intentions about your financial situation. And, you know, ye need only the faith of a mustard seed. That's a speck. Yeah, that's a speck. In this last transmission we did, and It's All Wonderful, they had everyone locate what they could see in their life as the most not wonderful situation they're dealing with. And from their soul and higher self, where we were traversing, to put it in its proper perspective, which was a speck, less than a speck, even speck minus. And that then starts to give you some, like, I see. I've been really making a mountain out of a molehill here. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you want to not interact with debt and financial situation like it's nothing, because that would be irresponsible, but rather it's got you, and it's time for you to have it and put it in its proper space, which is a speck compared to the bigger part of who you are, which is limitless abundance and love. And I recommend that on this coming up full moon that's coming up next week, powerful, powerful full moon really for all of you, to do a ritual, you know, identify that which it is you are wishing to let go of with regard to your relationship with money and finances and abundance, and then that which you are willing to create, that you're wanting to create, and have a ritual with your husband, whoever else is involved in this situation here, because it needs to be a whole family-wide shift that's occurring, or, you know, it's not just you, but whatever it is else you're relating to there around this. and put your house in it and whole kit and caboodle. And, you know, however you're drawn to do that, maybe you have a fire or burn things, I don't know. But throughout time, humans have used ritual for that very purpose, to cleanse and purify themselves of that which no longer served them and evoke or call in that which they're wishing to create. And that's the very good opportunity you have coming right up here next week. In fact, to this day next week. So you got a week to plan and prepare. Plenty of time. And that's what I encourage. And then really become that which you are creating. That you don't walk around talking about, you know, this energy's got me, I can't handle it, I feel guilty. Blah, blah. No, I mean, none of that's at all useful whatsoever. But rather, start talking, start being that which you're going to be creating in your new life ahead next Thursday on the full moon ceremony. And we'll all be eagerly awaiting to hear an update and a report on that. As we are, by the way, on all of these many incredible sharings and stories that has gone on tonight, and we really would love to hear feedback and updates, and appreciate everyone sharing all the things that you have tonight, because, as you know, this is what creates Nick and I having something to talk about over here, although, of course, I'm sure we'd have plenty of things to talk about, but it certainly gives us great joy to be able to contribute and be in service and support of all of you who are so eagerly taking on and embracing your evolution. Great joy, great joy.
Yeah, it's such a blessing. We love more than anything hearing your stories. That's what it's all about, real life changes. So, we've shared a lot. Each of these sessions is like its own superhero training. If you just apply any of these things we've been sharing, you're going to get huge results. It's a matter of implementation and consistency and really going deep and absorbing this into your physical life and your spiritual life. So I'm going to hand it over to Nick for a final prayer or final moment, and we'll be talking to you guys soon.
Thanks, bro. Yeah, giving thanks to everyone and just reminding us the context we're living in is changing dramatically, and there's a much wider playing field in the game of life right now. The old rules, structures, reason to be are no longer being supported by these new energies, which are establishing themselves very, very rapidly. So it is a very, 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 very unusual, powerful, and challenging time. So we need to be very aware of this and understand that closing our eyes, putting our hands on our heart, smiling, looking up within, and just opening our hearts to that God connection is just what we're looking for. And you can be plugging into the most wonderful resources in a millisecond, any time, any place, anywhere. If you're feeling disturbed or upset or frightened or anxious, or it's a sign just to stop and take a breath. And take a moment, take a few breaths, take a few moments, and get yourself realigned, reharmonized, refocused within yourself, and then move forward again. It's not a time to be charging forward, carrying the heavy load up the hill, expecting to get some medals for being a soldier of fortune or something. It's a very, very, very powerful time. And your spiritual power, literally your spiritual power, nothing to do with your physical body or strength or health or vitality, and your psychological stability, your focus, your ability to concentrate, and how you orient your attitude, your awareness, what you think about, your belief systems, and your attitude, the way you feel in any given moment. These are absolutely critical to the way life is going to manifest for you. Very, very quickly, very, very quickly. Get this right, do this little bit, totally focus on it for a concentrated period of time with increasing warrior intensity. Life will open up to you in the most miraculous way, and you can, in a very short space of time, like I have, like Michael has, like Taylor has, like thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of other people have as well, can experience complete and utter transformation, personally, professionally, and in every other way. But if you ignore it and you choose to allow yourself to be reactive and have an uncontrolled mind and unbridled desires and whatnot, then you're going to have a bumpy ride. There's no two ways about it. And this contrast between these two ways of being is becoming more and more acute. So, sending you lots of love and blessings, food for thought, and remember, it's very, very simple. Let's just practice it right now. Let's just close our eyes, smile, look up within, and just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you so much. Fill my heart with all your goodness. I surrender to you. And just imagine yourself like a cup, like an empty cup, like a grail, the holy grail. That's what your heart is, the sacred heart. And just offer it to be filled and allow the love to flow into your heart. And just make sure that that love is your attitude towards yourself and towards other people is in harmony with that love. And it will flow into the world. And as long as you keep the faith, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. And this is where the spiritual warrior is tested more than anything in terms of how pure is our faith, how much integrity do we have, how certain are we about the fact of who we are, what God is, and how life responds to that. How certain are you? And then as long as you're rock solid in that faith and able to keep radiating that love, then everything just locks into place, and all you have to do is just have your vision, plan, action. Hold yourself accountable. Get on it. Vision, plan, action. And everything just moves along just the way it's supposed to be going. So sending you so much love and blessings. Big thanks to Brother Michael and Taylor. Love to you all. So much gratitude and appreciation toward you superheroes. Talk to you soon.